It's good to go.
Okay. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I'd like to welcome everyone, which really is everyone, or two or three, to the June 25th work session for the Borough of Chester Heights. First up on the agenda is roll call. Present tonight, we have Solicitor Jerry Montella, Councilperson Philip Block, Teresa Gustinelli, myself, Susan Clark, Jordan Goldberg, not present tonight, Mayor Stacy Smith, Councilperson Steve Kokoza, and Councilperson Gina Marie Ellis. Next up on the agenda, opportunity for public to address council. Marta.
Marta Driscoll, 4588 Lanai Road. So, good evening, everybody. So, as you may know, we developed Chester Heights Neighbors Alliance as a community group, and we received a few complaints from residents about Lanai Road, as you may imagine. So, the issues that were raised were twofold: inadequate and confusing detours, and of course, the condition of the road surface. So, we worked over the course of the week to reach out to Aqua, PennDOT, and SEPTA to gather information on behalf of the community. On the issue of traffic detours, we were told that state roads can only detour to other state roads by Aqua, but then PennDOT assured us that on Friday that they were going to send out somebody this week to check out the detours and make sure that they are working and that they are properly situated, and that as the work moves along Lanai Road, those detours are also changed to coincide with that. As far as the paving goes, Aqua is finalizing what they call permanent trench fill along the road. Aqua stated that they will be done within a month, and PennDOT stated that they are supposed to be scheduled to be completed by August 31st.
Is that all work done by?
No, so that's the permanent trench fill. And then PennDOT's going to come back and they're going to pave the road, and they promise that it'll be done by the end of the year. So, having said that, we also have the SEPTA issue, because SEPTA is going to be grading Lanai Road and closing the road for approximately 4 months, beginning, they said mid-August, they're going to be starting, so closing at mid-August for 4 months. What they also stated that SEPTA and PennDOT both said that when they do begin the work, the paving and the grading on Lanai Road, that they will do public outreach to let everybody know. So I anticipate that council will be notified of this work, and I'm just here to ask that if you do get this information, that you share it with the community so that we can, let everybody know, because it is going to be a quite big disruption to have that road closed. The SEPTA work, they're going to do the bridge on Route 1 first, so they're going to close Route 1 for about 24 hours soon, sometime between now and August. I think the beginning of August is when they're slating to take down that bridge, and then they said they're going to pivot to Lanai, so that's that for us. Thank you.
Great. Anyone else? Second, third row?
They're slated to close Baltimore Pike all weekend.
All weekend. 48 hours.
They're going to notify us 7 days ahead of time.
And they said that's going to be the beginning of August, right around there. We met,
the fire chief and the fire marshal met with him SEPTA last week to go over that.
Okay. Because as of Friday, he said they didn't have any confirmed dates. But, like I said, as soon as we know, that's when we know. So,
Sam, do you anticipate, is that going to impact any joint calls potential here? I know, obviously, it's not going to impact Aston or Concordville coming here, but.
I know that when they met, the fire chief met, the fire marshal met with them, they tried to emphasize that they don't want both Lanai and Route 1 closed at the same time. They'd like them to alternate that, because it will have an impact on any ambulance coming out of Riddle or you going to Riddle. If they close both Baltimore Pike and Lanai, your route will have to come down here, past here, up to 452, out 452, and into that. So we asked them not to close both things, and I think they assured us they wouldn't do that.
The tricky part is to make sure that Aqua is not closing Lanai while they're doing Route 1.
Well, Aqua's assured us that if there was an emergency, they would let us pass through. That's the understanding we have from Aqua right now, is that if it's an emergency vehicle, they will wave that vehicle on. They are not closing the whole road, just limiting it to one lane, correct?
Sometimes, unless they're completely open the road. Like, depends on the hour of the day. Sometimes they close the road completely.
Yeah.
But the only other thing that's in the mix is they're supposed to be closing Crozierville Road.
Oh, really?
As well. And that's within the month. So they're trying to get Lenai Road open.
Okay.
So that they can close Crozierville Road, so that they can do all the work along Crozierville, and then start the roundabout.
Okay.
At Crozierville and Burney Highway. So
it's going to be tight in this immediate area.
Tight. Okay. Again.
Is that roundabout, do you think that's going to slow down traffic on Llewellyn?
No.
God, they fly through there. Just curious what you got.
We may want to put out a public announcement, because I understand the ambulance issue, but if you were bringing somebody to the hospital for an emergency and they've got Route 1 closed and you're
sure.
aware of it, that could add on a significant amount of time if you
were okay.
bringing somebody. So
we can do that. Okay, moving forward, on the agenda up next is the trademark application logo letter from Mark A. Garezia, Esquire.
Yeah, Jerry? Thank you, Mr. President. I received this from Sue. It's an email that attorney Mark Garezia filed or sent to the borough. And I guess he's seeking an update from the borough related to a trademark application that he filed on behalf of the borough, I'm assuming in 2017. Further assuming that based upon the actions which council took place, you know, a couple of weeks ago with regard to the new logo, I guess Mr. Garcia is looking for some direction with regard to whether or not to proceed forward with the application that he filed with the U.S. Patents Office. Apparently he must have sent a letter January 20th, 2018. This is a follow-up email.
Okay.
I frankly never saw the previous letter.
Sure.
And what he's saying is that he filed the application. It probably, you know, there'd be a cost for his work to follow up. There's some outstanding questions that need to be answered. And it looks like the entire amount would be somewhere between roughly $1,000 to maybe $2,500, depending
okay.
on what the status is. So Sue referred to me. I kind of took a look at it. I sent an email, I believe, out to council just so that I guess Sue needs to reply in kind to the attorney or myself
okay.
with regard to whether or not to go forward or let it go.
Sure. Obviously, since we had the vote last month at our meeting, that further work will not be necessary. So, Sue, could you contact Mr. Garcia and
yes.
tell him in kind, please? Okay.
I have a question.
Sure.
Did we get a formal letter from Wawa allowing us to use their geese in our logo?
I did see a letter that I reviewed. It's from Wawa,
okay.
Advising that it was that the borough could use the geese. There was some conditioning language in it, but yes, I did see a letter.
Can that be shared with the rest of council? I guess because some council members saw it and some didn't.
Sure.
Did you see it? No. Okay. Yeah.
No,
if we could share that
I
with everyone, yeah. That would be good.
Okay.
Would council like me to send it to everyone?
Sure.
Yeah.
Just
please. Forward it. I just want to see it.
Great. Thank you.
I had sent a message out asking for it, but I didn't get any response.
Well, it didn't come to me.
Okay.
It was sent to a council person. It didn't come to me directly. I didn't have any discussion with Wawa directly with regard to it. I just saw the letter.
Okay.
All right, next up on the agenda, Jerry, would that fall into you also? SEPTA letters of concurrence?
Yeah, my understanding is that SEPTA sent out some letters, I believe, in 2017, although it didn't make it to, a response never came back from the borough. And what happens here is they're sending a letter to the mayor, they're sending a letter to the chairman of the planning commission, they're asking for both individuals to sign off on, it's called a letter of concurrence. It's really something that Matt, the borough engineer, needs to review.
Okay.
And the concurrence is whether or not the plan project, except the Wawa rail line, is consistent with the borough's stormwater management plan and flood management plan. So really, it's kind of Matt's, Matt needs to take a look at it and then make some recommendation to the mayor and the chairman to determine whether or not it's consistent and applicable or applicable.
Okay.
And that's where we are.
Great.
And there was a timeline, but I think that was resolved between Matt and SEPTA.
So that needs to be on the regular council agenda, right, for July 2nd?
Sure. And hopefully Matt can review that prior so that we can...
I don't know if there's a motion, if you will, that needs to be. It just needs to be, Matt explaining to council that, the plan project is consistent with the borough stormwater management.
Okay.
And if it's not, then I guess he needs to identify those issues that where, it's not.
Okay, great.
If you may make a suggestion, it might be also a good time to have Matt review the stormwater plan with council.
Okay.
Because it was a 5-year plan, and somewhere in that 5 years, and it is still, I think, a couple years away, there is going to have to be monies spent by the borough to refurbish some of the retention ponds. And
okay.
It's not inexpensive. And there was a year or two, but that may be coming up, and I don't remember when. So it's probably a good idea as part of this if you ask Matt to review the mm-hmm. entire plan with council.
Sure.
That is a good idea, Philip. I think we had 5 years to reduce
it. It was 5 years to finish it, and
20%,
we were pushing it off as long as possible.
Yes.
I think we need to figure that out and start planning monies and
okay,
stuff.
Okay, that's a good idea. Okay, next up, Jerry.
Yes, Mr. President.
Darlington Square passageway.
Yeah, if you recall that Matt sent the plan that Attorney D'Amico sent into the borough. It deals with Darlington Square Shopping Center. Mike Sioko, the alternate engineer, he reviewed it. He came to the conclusion that everything seemed to be in order. There was no zoning issues that were really brought to his attention or that he saw. He did mention that he thought the private parties might be in a position to create a easement between the two. And I have a call out to Joe D'Amico, their attorney, to determine what position he's taking on behalf of his clients to determine whether or not there needs to be an easement between the two private parties here.
Okay.
And if so, whether or not that will ever be recorded. But it's really between the two private parties here. Other than that, it looks as though Mr. Sioko has approved or is going to approve the land disturbance plan as it was forwarded to him.
Okay.
By Matt.
I thought Mike was also looking for stormwater calculations. My understanding was anything under 2,000 square feet has to abide by.
Yeah, I think he sent, to Matt, it says, please verify the new impervious areas and less than 2,000, provide some calculations, and he gives some other indications. So I assume...
Okay.
Matt's going to do what Mr. Sioko is asking to do.
Okay.
To make sure that he meets all the requirements of Sioko's recommendations.
Is he doing that because Matt has a conflict?
Yes.
Okay.
And those two properties are owned by the same person, by the same
That's
party.
That's my understanding.
Okay. All right, so we'll wait for, I guess Matt has to respond back to Mike on that stormwater calculation.
He does. If you recall, Matt thought it would be prudent to give it to Mr. Sioko to review and then come back with any comments, which he did.
Okay.
I'm following up with their solicitor, and I'm assuming Matt's going to follow up with Mr. Sioko.
Okay, very
on
good.
Reviews,
great.
Issues.
Okay, anything else with that, Jerry?
No.
Okay, thank you.
Anybody has any questions?
Any questions or comments on it? Okay. Next up on the agenda is the appointment of Megan Killian as open records officer. Megan has been with us for over a month now, month and a half?
Yes.
Seems like longer, seems like shorter?
I didn't think about that for a second.
Okay. So without further ado, do I have a motion to appoint Megan Killian as open records officer for the borough of Chester Heights?
So moved.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Jordan seconds. The floor is open for discussion. Any comments, concerns?
Thank you.
With no discussion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? The motion is approved. You're welcome. Moving forward, Susan, open space.
Okay. Sounds like I'm the main act tonight. But anyway.
You are.
All right.
The floor is yours.
I guess I just want to remind everybody that we set up an open space fund in 2017. I'm not to it yet. But we set up a open space fund in 2017 and we put $25,000 in it. Our excess budget, you know, our actual revenues versus spending in 2017, as I recall, was about $160,000. And what I'd like to propose that we do is put some of that excess money, more of it, into an open space fund. And I thought how I wanted to start was to kind of look at what other people are doing and sort of show you how other municipalities are working, be them townships or boroughs. So I put together this spreadsheet. Let me go to the top here. This actually came off of the, Larry, you might want to pull back because, and you might want to pull back so you can see and face it there. Whoops. Yeah. Oh. No, it's not that you were in the way. I just wanted you to be able to see it. I got this off of the Delaware Valley Regional Planning Commission website, and this is a list of municipalities that have open space programs. And so Delaware Valley Regional Planning Commission includes New Jersey. I took New Jersey out because I felt like focusing just on Pennsylvania, we have different laws. I mean, we could put them back in, but I just thought I'd like to stay more local.
Sure.
And so Bucks County, so what I did was, I looked at each county. This is broken down. So this is Bucks County. And let me come down here. And their total, so this 0.215%, you'll see some places where they have dollar amounts and sometimes where they have percentages. This column E right here is right off the website. Column D is the one I changed. So this 0.25%, I think there's an Act 153, Jerry, you may be familiar with it, where if a municipality levies an earned income tax credit, they can put 0.25% of it in an open space fund. And so what you see here is a lot of municipalities, this is half of 0.25, collecting that money and putting it in an open space. And so in this case with Bucks County, the total was 0.215%. Going down to Chester County, in fact, here you have one. And I have more information about each of these. I'll go through it. This actually comes out to 0.316%. And looking at some of their websites, my guess is that Chester County is a little more aggressive about open space and they're really pushing municipalities to you know, get funding, because look at how many are here. So now you get down to Delaware County, and I'm not going to say we're backward or anything, but we've got Chatsford, Concord, Middletown, Radnor, and Upper Providence, just five. And, you know, we reap what we sow. So anyway, but that does average 0.25. And then going down here to Montgomery County, not quite so many, and that averages 0.213. Overall average is 0.248, and I know it's not mathematically correct that I took the averages and averaged them, and, you know, don't shoot me, but most of these are 0.25%. So, like, just basically most of the municipalities are levying a 0.25% earned income tax credit and putting it in an open space fund. And now this only includes municipalities that were identified by the Delaware Valley Regional Planning Commission, you know, like, Aston, for example, is not in here. So I wandered over to Aston's site, and they don't have an open space fund per se, but they do have revenues of $15 million a year. So I don't think they actually, I think they just decide whether or not they're going to appropriate their funds for open space. Like, they have that nice community center, you know, so they are spending money on open space, you know, community type projects. They're just not, they just don't have a fund per se. So what I did was I thought to myself, Well, this is very interesting. We don't have an earned income tax credit. How can I relate this problem to Chester Heights? You know, how can I put some numbers around it to give it some context around our situation? So what I did was I said our population in 2010 was 2,500. The per capita income was 38,000. That gives us an income base of $95 million. If we had an 0.25% open space funding situation, we would be putting about $250,000 a year away. So just to put that in perspective, though, this is the Chester Heights budget, 634, and that would be 42% of our existing budget. Now, this 634, that's our total revenue. So that's everything all in, be it real estate, millage, be it real estate transfer, be it Comcast franchise, whatever. But I was just trying to get, you know, by using the census numbers, an idea of how does that 0.25% relate to our situation. So I lowered these percents, and right here where we did the 25,000, we really only put 4% of our budget away for open space. So it's really a pittance. What I did a little more research, and I can, any questions on that, because I know that's kind of a lot to absorb, but I was trying to say, what are other people doing? Roughly, they're doing an earned income tax of 0.25% and relating that to the Chester Heights situation. So the only other thing I did with this, and I can share it, is for Delaware County, let's start there. I took a look at each township. Chad's Ford, it said that on average they had 125,000. I could not verify that. I need to try to make this smaller so I can get everything on one screen. Ah, shoot. All right, I could not verify that they were putting anything in open space. Concord, as far as I could tell, their 2018 budget is 435,000. It's funded from their real estate tax revenues. They also have another 37,000 that they have a separate fund called Open Space Funded. They call it Developers Contributions. And that amount varied from $319,000 to $1.1 million from, I guess I have to make this a little bigger. Oh, I'll just go up here. From 2015 to 2017. So there's a lot of money. So Concord Township is getting a lot of money to fund their open. Do you know anything about their open space? I think I had sent you a message.
I wasn't able to reach out to their manager before tonight, but there's a lot of building going on in Concord Township.
Yeah.
I mean, all up and down the. Yeah, I mean,
I wonder if they have an ordinance where.
Baltimore Pike and,
Right.
Jerry, it wasn't like in lieu of, you know, they gave money in lieu of,
we have
open space. So basically, I mean, Chester Heights had that, came through the
planning commission.
They collected
it a couple of times, I think, in that development up on a corner.
Right, the reserves.
The reserves.
But it's very time restricted.
It is.
Money.
And you have to use it within a certain amount of time.
And
is that
on
per
certain
our
projects,
yes.
Oh, so if we
so
change
in other
the
words,
ordinance.
there was a fee in lieu of that they put into the borough. That money actually was used for the park, and I believe, it was used for the park.
Yeah.
And they set it aside. So they called it a fee in lieu of.
Right.
So I didn't look that up, but I'm just saying this kind of makes me think with the amounts of money that we're talking here. That's a possibility. If we want to, you know, look at the ordinance we have, maybe not make it so restrictive and try to get developers' contributions when we have new projects. All right, Middletown, I could not verify. There's a lot of reasons why I couldn't verify things, because sometimes their websites are just horrible, or they don't post their budget, or they post their budget, but it's I just can't understand it. So anyway, there was a lot of different reasons, but it did say in 2005, see, a lot of times what these places do, you see this bond here, is they'll float a bond to do an open space purchase, and then they'll use their funding to pay it off over time. So, I mean, that's an option for us. If we see a piece of land that we wanted to buy, if we wanted to buy it and then use the open space fund to make the payments, we could. Of course, that involves interest costs, so there's a cost for everything. Radnor Township, they take 25% of their gross real estate transfer revenues, plus $160,000 from the general fund. In 2018 budget, their revenues were $1.0 million, their spending was $1.1 million, and they ended up with a balance of $169,000. So they're pretty aggressive on open space as well. And then Upper Providence, they haven't earned income tax, they have no real estate millage tax. Their funding for open space was $550,000, and their balance varied between $1.3 and $2.9 million. So I feel like these townships, they've made a decision, obviously, if you look at these dates, long ahead of us. Oops, I'm sorry, I skipped down too fast. You know, if we had been doing this as a borough, you know, 10, 15 years ago, we would be in a much better place today. And some of them are very aggressive. So I'm just going to go up to Chester County and literally started to look at some of the Chester County. I've got to figure out a way to make so I can get this all on one screen. So I actually just made notes here. You know, sometimes I could not verify, but we've got here their balance is $6 million. Their balance is, their revenue is $1.2 million. Like there's sometimes where I could see references to open space on their website, but I couldn't actually find their budget. So this one I just said still in effect. This at East Coventry they had a balance of $1.4 million. East Nottingham a balance of $500,000. So I literally did these until I ran out of time. But I just think, you know. We need to be more aggressive about our open space funding.
Is that $5.25 million for Kennett?
Their 2018 budget revenues were $6,408, but it included a $5 million loan funding. Their expenses were $5.845 million, but it included it was like a plus and a minus. So it made the gross number seem higher. So it was really $1.4 million against $1.6 million in spending. So I just tried to go out there and verify that this list was, you know, good. And I didn't call anybody. I mean, I could find out more. I guess the question is, what do we want to do for Chester Heights? Do we want to do nothing and just leave it the way it is? Or do we want to get a little more serious about funding our open space program? I just thought we could discuss it tonight collaboratively and see what everybody thinks.
I think we need to be more aggressive than we were, which was not aggressive at all, I guess.
Right.
And moving forward, how many large parcels do we still have in the borough that could conceivably still be up for grabs, so to speak, you know, in the coming future? You know, the Powell property.
Yeah, there's a lot of the Powell properties. I mean, even 301 Llewellyn.
Yes.
Rose Hill. We have the park down on Lenai Road. I mean, the open space money can be used for parks too.
Sure.
Like I would like to turn that park. I keep saying this. I'm probably out of my mind, but if we could turn it into a parking lot for that trail somehow with some kind of safe walkways, because once SEPTA takes over that lot, there's not going to be anywhere to park.
That has restrictions on the Schumacher property.
Is that what it is?
It has, because it was FEMA money.
Right.
It was in a floodplain.
Yep.
So, I mean, we've had issues over the years with just people parking there mm-hmm. temporarily, and then it becomes long-term, and we've had to get them off.
Okay.
Well, and I think Westlakes has posted their property coming around the corner there, so
yeah.
You'd be in a right-of-way, you know, walking.
Yeah, it's just that
point.
That's just one thing. I mean,
because that will be a problem once SEPTA develops that. That area there, there'll be no parking whatsoever.
So, this might be something to think about since I'm the chair of that open space committee.
Open space committee for what? For
open space.
Oh, that's parks, right. Yeah,
yeah. It's considered parks and rec and open space, mm-hmm. my understanding. Could we have a subcommittee? and I'm happy to work with whoever wants to jump in, and because I'm interested in the open space. What do we? I mean, we're a small borough. Some of these townships are huge. They're monsters.
Chester County.
One thing you don't see is Thornbury. You know,
yeah, they have a huge open space fund. I meant to look that up.
A very huge open space, but they also have an earned income tax. They have no real estate tax.
Correct.
So, I mean, they're very flush in money.
Yeah. So may I make a suggestion? So I would love to join that, by the way.
Rather than, we're not going to flush it all out tonight, but we can certainly meet again and bring it back.
I just wanted to show everybody, and walk through the spreadsheet isn't easy, but it was really good data from DVRPC, and I just wanted to explain how I thought it was really well done.
So my suggestion is kind of do it the other way around, and not say it'd be great to have $4 million, which it would be great if we had $4 million, but it almost is going back to the town plan, which, by the way, hasn't been reviewed in quite a while, so, you know, maybe this council would like to take that on too as we review the town plan. But to literally, that committee would go and look at the town as a whole and coupled with the town plan, figure out where we do need open space, what percentage we're targeting. My feeling about power, we should take those, but they'll work back and say, you know, this is kind of the areas we'd like to see as open space, and put an estimate on the cost on that, so we can have a target that we need to be putting $30,000, and I'm throwing out a number, away, you know, into this fund a year, so that 5 years we can develop this plan, or maybe it's more, or maybe it's less, but I think until we actually have a real vision on where we want with open space, and, you know, what we want to do with our parks and that kind of stuff. I think we should be putting money away now, because it is going to be more than $25,000.
Right.
I think we need to kind of plan and figure out what the ultimate target is and what we want the open space.
Excuse me. Greg Wood had started a project with Brandywine Conservancy. I can't recall the guy's name, but he works with municipalities to identify open spaces, and Fred started the plan. Maybe you could contact that guy.
Well, I have to. I think they actually charge for their services, which is fine, but I don't know. Yeah, I know some of them that I know while I was worked with, they actually charge for some of those fees.
Well, this was part of the PICO Green Grant. So there was money set aside for the borough to work with the Brandywine Conservancy about 5 years ago.
And I'm just curious to see if the county and Delaware River Authority and stuff has some matching funds too. So if we identify what we need, $3 million, that you know, they can match some funds too. So, but I'd love to work on that with you and whoever. And,
Would it be feasible to send a mailer out to the residents to see what their feelings are on creating an income tax for this very reason?
No.
Put Phil's name on it.
Thank you.
Not right now.
What these municipalities have done is they've done a referendum.
Okay.
And most of them have passed. So, and that's where a lot of these earned income. But I'm not saying that the question is, do we? There's multiple ways to do it. Earned income tax credit is definitely one of them.
I'll be honest. Until you have a plan, I wouldn't even ask for it. But the problem is, when you put one of those in as an ordinance, they're almost impossible to get rid of, right? There's also bonding, which is a way to do it. And some boroughs or townships I know use that, and they push the interest way out, there's a lot of, I hate to say games, but there's a lot of ways you can play with that interest and not get a lot of cost up front, which makes a lot of people happy. But I think, you know, if you have a plan and you tell everybody this is the kind of open space we want, this is what it's going to cost,
Well, I like your idea of having a goal. The problem with that I see is that, you know, and the opportunity as well, is that if we have a year where we do better than budget, maybe it should be some percentage of that. And then if we if we don't do better, the budget is zero. So, because what we're trying to do is make sure that we're not eating into. I mean, I think the finance team needs to decide what is an appropriate amount of money for us to have on hand. And I don't think that's the first step. You okay. know, and then what's excess, and then how much of that should we put in the open space fund, and then how do we do it on an annual basis?
Because and my only argument is instead of having finances, that you have kind of a plan to think about what you need. And
right. So, well, it can be kind of an iteration, but yeah. I guess I'd rather not see us out of tax. If there's a way we can do it with, you know, when we have right now with things booming a bit, when we have more development, which means more revenue, can we start setting some of that money, some percentage of that money aside? But we can talk about what all the options are.
There's always grants.
Mm-hmm.
Grants.
We should be looking at that a lot harder than we do, too, because yeah. there's definitely money out there.
The only other issue...
Well, we need to updo our new... We need to get our park ADA acceptable, and that park, those... All of the equipment in that park is 20 years old or more.
Mm-hmm.
So, A, it needs to be replaced, and B, it needs to be ADA accessible and handicapped and all that, and...
I think that the open space money that's there can be used for that.
So we need money. We're going to need to do that.
But rather than wipe it out, I think we need to talk about funding it some more, too. So.
But the only other thing is we do need money in there. And it should be part of the planning, because if a parcel of land does open up and, you know, mm-hmm. you have 3 months to respond.
We need to be ready to act.
We need to be ready to do it.
Let me ask a question. Can we, in some cases, I'm not saying this is the right strategy, but opportunistically acquire land? For example, like, and I'll just give an example, not that we want that particular land, but 301 Llewellyn, when we knocked down that house, again, there's a parcel of land there now.
Sure.
The question is, something like that would probably pick up pretty inexpensively, I would imagine. And I'm not sure if we could repurpose it for a different use, like mm-hmm. a small park or some other type of setting. And, you know, instead of, I know the PAL property can be extremely expensive based on the size and the magnitude, but if we take baby steps and acquire a piece here, a piece there, over time, we could ultimately get more and more open space if there was a structure there that no longer is, and try to prevent a structure from going back on there. Just a thought, you know, if that would be something of consideration as part of the overall strategy.
Well, I think the question is, do we position ourselves to grab small pieces that are not connected, or maybe let those small pieces go and maybe set our sights on something
that's what I say
larger.
The planning part on if you took the town map and you said yeah. it makes sense to have, you know, a continuous open space that people can use, or
sure.
small parts, that's kind of what you would want to go back and look at. Makes sense.
I still do think that the finance committee needs to set a like a target in terms of how much money, like at what point do we have more than we should have, and can we...
In a general fund.
Yes, yeah. So I think we need to set that, because that's something that we could possibly move to the open space. $25,000 is nothing. We could spend that on the park probably, you know, making it ADA. So that, I think, would be one thing that would be helpful.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's as we limp out of the winter time with, you know,
and new lights and new
some versions. Yeah, exactly. So,
and maybe we say we try to preserve half of the open space fund for opportunities, and the other half maybe for park projects, you know, for spending type things. So,
well, I am looking into some grants because that's where I would like to start first for certain things, that there's grant money out there.
Mm-hmm.
So, but right. anyway,
so how about we continue this at the
yes.
council meeting, maybe?
Yeah, it can be a continuing
sure.
discussion.
Absolutely.
Because I think it's very important.
Okay. Susan, anything else on this you have?
Nope.
Set?
Okay.
Great. Thank you very much. Next up on the agenda, number 9, since Gene is not here, we can push that to the council meeting. Number 10 on the agenda, stray dog contract update. Sue?
Yes. Last Wednesday, Stacy and I attended the meeting at the Brandywine Vet Hospital, and I just gave everybody a piece of paper basically saying that Chester Heights entered into the stray dog contract with Brandywine Vet Hospital in July of 2016 It's $105 for monthly reservation fee that covers three days. After 3 days, it's an additional $35 per day, and Brandywine will care for the dog for 10 days only. And then I wrote the fees, kennel, cough, and rabies, $92 if the dog's there more than 2 days, $35 for the fecal test. And then Brandywine Vet Hospitals asked that each municipality reach out to their community through Facebook and website if a dog is found, and they'll do the same. And Chester Heights Borough averages between 1 to 3 dogs a year. It can vary. 1 year we had about 8 or 9. But Chester Heights Borough never had a dog that stayed over 10 days. Purpose of this meeting was that there's 13 municipalities involved currently, and Brandywine Vet Hospital is having a little bit of a problem because they have too many pit bulls there. Mm. And they're hard to place, and so they're wondering if these 13 municipalities would consider finding a long-term care facility where these dogs could be placed. If not, would each municipality want to make the decision to have them euthanized? Dr. Gray will not euthanize a dog unless it's this close to dying. But they are having problems. I personally, all the problems that were brought up, I don't think pertain to Chester Heights because we're so small. We're 1 to 3 dogs a year. And there was one dog there that has been there for 14 months. It's cost the municipality like $3,000. Because they can't place it. So the purpose of the meeting was they just want to explore the option of, to me it sounds like they need a facility like pit bulls, what is it, pit bulls and parolees?
Yeah.
They need something like that here. And
our open space fund. Find a little place.
So now I think they have 6 or 7 pit bulls there that they don't know what to do with. No. One was from Chester Heights. And so there's no action, but they suggested maybe each municipality put in $2,000 to consider in the 2019 budget if they can find a facility that would take these dogs long term. So that's all was at the meeting. No action, no decision.
But we have to sign a contract, right?
Well, we sign an annual contract, and nothing's changed in the contract. So
this is just an update on your meeting.
Yeah. Would it be possible for them to consider, instead of 2,000 per municipality, prorated to the population? The ratio of the-
you know, it's in such the beginning stages that There might not even be a facility that exists. So it's just they have 6 or 7 pit bulls they don't know what to do with.
Does the fire department need a fire dog?
Yeah.
I know I wouldn't spend $2,000.
All right, Sue, thank you.
Thanks, Sue.
Moving forward on the agenda, number 11, office computers. This week, Sue had emailed out the revised specs and pricing for the computers. Sam and Jordan had input on those specifications. Jordan, have you seen those, and do you have any?
What I was confused about was the specs. There was one, it looked like there were 2 different specs sent out. One was sent out earlier, then another one was recently sent out that looked different.
Sam's hiding.
I don't know what you sent out.
I sent out.
After I, that
after
night,
yes,
I called Del Rep up.
Yeah.
She recommended on the laptop,
We switched the drive to the drive that you requested. It increased the cost substantially. And she did not recommend, or they did not recommend, changing the drive out to that in the desktop, because they said the desktop's not going to really move. And that's one of the only really benefits of it, if it moves a lot, because it has no moving parts. So if you want to spend another $500, we could add it to the desktop. That's what it cost to add it. And it jumped, that laptop, I think, went from 300 some bucks up to 900 bucks.
Of our solid state drive?
What was that one? Solid state
drive. I don't know. I travel a lot. I don't have a solid state drive. My computer's 6 years old. But
yeah, at the minimum, I would do the memory. The memory is.
The memory. Yeah. We increased the memory and stuff, but.
Yeah, but like I said,
you wanted a solid state drive. You said
I was actually surprised it jumped by that much, to be honest with you, on a solid state drive.
Most of that's just access speed, right? And I don't know how fast these computers really have to be for what we do.
Well, Sue's a pretty fast typer.
Unless you're doing, first person shooter games on the internet.
You know about that?
No. My kids do.
What are your thoughts on that, Jordan, on switching that drive back?
What I would do as a compromise is do if they have such an option, is maybe 7,200 RPM versus a 5,400 RPM hard drive. Is what my thought is on that. And that probably won't be as expensive as solid state.
Because it also the 7,200 will decrease the battery life, typically.
I'm talking about maybe for the desktop, 7,200, just go with the solid state on the laptop, and 7,200 on the desktop. So it's kind of split the difference.
Okay.
So with 16 gigs of memory, solid state for the laptop, and 7,200 RPM hard drive for the desktop.
Okay. Sam, do you have that? Sir?
Sure, I'll follow up tomorrow.
Okay.
So what are you going to do? You want to order it tomorrow?
Well,
you want to order them, or are we going to come back another month or not? Because I'm on vacation.
If you could change that spec around, and if Sue, if you could email those costs out, we can approve that or put it for a vote at the regular council meeting so we can get this.
Which is next Monday.
Correct.
I'll see what I can do.
Thank you.
7,200.
$7,200
on the desktop.
No. So it needs to be approved.
And we're doing the i5 processor.
Yes, that was switched.
Yeah.
So you want to leave the laptop the way it is under the new config?
Yeah, with the SSD.
All you want to do is change i5. The desktop to a 7200.
Yeah, with 16 gig.
Yeah, it had the 16 gig RAM.
Yeah, but then i5, then we should be good.
And Sue, when do we start our new lease with the new?
July. We have one more payment.
July 1st?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, any more comments or concerns about office computers?
Get her done.
Get her done. Moving forward, Pico Streetlight purchase information. I spoke to Sue about this last week, and it just kind of came up in a conversation with a friend of mine. It seems most municipalities are buying their streetlights back from Pico and switching over to LEDs. This information is new. I think we need to digest this and understand it and see what our return on investment would be for the borough. And what other options we would have as far as purchasing these and the purchase price back from Pico. And then with this, our usage would drop in half. I think currently we're paying $540 per month to rent the lights and for our usage as far as electric.
It varies. Sometimes it's $513, sometimes it's $573.
Okay. And if we bought our current lights back, our usage would be approximately $252, I think I saw in one of your emails.
I think it was
$248. Okay, $248. And then on top of that, if we switch to LEDs, that usage cost should go even lower. The only problem is we have the cost to buy out the existing lights. We have the cost to replace them with LEDs, the cost to install those new fixtures. So I think it's something we have to look at and maybe digest and maybe ask for input from Larry and from Matt and from Jordan, since that might be considered your committee. So.
This is a question. On the luminary, like 25 number and bracket number 25, 23, is that the quantity you're talking about?
That's a question I had also.
I don't think we have that many. I don't know. It's like 25. It looks like quantity 25.
We have 25 fixtures, but what is that 23 bracket notation? Do you know, Larry?
There might be one or two that are on the same bracket.
Okay.
There might be like a dual head.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
A dual head. I'd have to look and do a complete survey, but I think that might be the
okay.
The
okay, that makes sense.
And then I wasn't sure whether that was a quote from Higgins, you know, for the installation of the LEDs, or that was just Pico's estimate.
Well, the price of $6,066.91.
That was the price to buy it.
From Pico, to buy the existing fixtures.
Yes.
Correct.
But then there were other figures down below.
Yeah, and it's Stephanie from Higgins gave a basic quote of $300 per LED light. That has a 5-year warranty.
Okay.
And then Higgins would charge $65 per light to install.
Mm-hmm.
And they said that some municipalities just buy the lights and keep their current lights, and as they fail, then they'll replace them with LED. Other municipalities buy the Pico and do a complete installation of all new LEDs.
Because if you don't do the changeover, then you won't see the drop down to the 250 range. You'd still be in the 400 range.
Correct. Now a question I have for Matt, or maybe for this rep from Pico, if we don't want their fixtures, can we say, take your fixtures out of here, we're buying new fixtures, and sidestep that $6,000 figure?
I have no idea.
Okay.
I don't think so.
You know,
I think we've tried that in the past. And
really?
Yeah, it's like, no.
So if we're leasing those lights from Pico, they have to stay on that pole. If we don't want to lease them anymore, we still have to buy them out and then replace them?
That'd be a good question. That would be a good question. Just,
okay.
You know, have them go out and unplug them or...
Take your lights and
go home, you know.
Okay. Okay.
But is the total cost... $6,000 plus $7,500 plus $1,600.
No, that $6,000 figure is to buy the existing old fixtures that are currently on the poles.
Okay.
And if we did that, our current payment, I think per month, is a $550 to rent them and usage.
Okay.
And maintenance from Pico.
Okay.
If we bought them, we would just pay usage, which is $248 or $246.
For the existing lights.
On the old lights.
Okay.
Now the LED light usage would be lower than that, but there's still the...
And there's an additional cost to maintain them. Sometimes if a car hits a pole hard enough and the pole has to get replaced, then there's another fee.
What happens if they're ours? I'm sorry.
Unless we can get the car... accident insurance.
Okay.
I mean, we don't have to pay for the pole, but I think Verizon owns most of the poles. But wait, who else owns the poles?
Usually it's Pico or Verizon.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, as far as paying the $6,000, that would probably be a question I'd direct towards the solicitor and say, hey, you know, is that a hard and fast number that, you know, if we just say we don't want to use your poles or lights at all, but they may be charging the bracket fee because it's their pole.
Okay.
So you're kind of paying their their perpetual license to use that.
Okay. That maybe space. That's a question we could email
Angela.
And this is just, I mean, if we're not talking about a lot of money, but I'm just curious, is it an all or nothing type deal? I mean, if we want to do, let's say, half now and half later?
No.
we can.
We could, sure.
I was just curious.
Yeah, we could. All right, very good. Any other comments or questions? Okay, moving forward. Old business? Any old business? Any new business?
A large tree fell on Valley Brook Road at Madison from apparently the Village of Valley Brook property. I was called by the state police and first had to make sure PICO was cleared. Once they were cleared, then I advised them it was a PennDOT route.
So oh, okay.
They had to get PennDOT to get rid of it. So, but that's something we may want to go back with the road, you know, and go back on Valley Brook and say they need to, you know, further do due diligence on that hill.
Okay.
You know, around that area.
Is that something PennDOT could approach them with?
Well, I think once we gain the momentum and say, hey, there are trees that are, then we can use PennDOT as leverage. They will, you know, confront the homeowner or the property owner and assist us in getting those trees trimmed or removed.
Okay, very good.
Incidentally, on Walnut Hill, I sold the speed hump sign, the speed limit. It went down. I don't know if you saw, it looked like someone tried to pop it back up.
I haven't seen it.
It's a very weird thing. It's the one side that's going towards Stony Bank.
Yeah.
It looked like someone hit it and it broke away. It was laying there and then it looks like someone tried to pop it back up, but they didn't do a good job on it.
Okay. All right. I'll get it taken care of.
Thanks.
I just have a question. At some point we were going to look at year-to-date actual versus budget. Is that the 7-2 meeting we're going to do, or is it the July work session?
I could ask Steve that. He was sick tonight.
Okay, so. Yeah.
July work session?
I'll just comment on the Valley Brook trees. It's very expensive, which is why we were trying to write that ordinance to force them to do it. So Valley Brook's not going to do it. It was a lot of money for all the trees.
Yeah.
We identified.
Yeah.
But I'm sure PennDOT didn't appreciate coming out there and doing the tree, you know. So
I'm just garner
some support there.
Yeah. It's going to be a difficult fight.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Any other new business?
Yeah, I'm at work.
Moving forward, additional period for public comment. Anyone?
I just want to make a note. When you said that our total budget revenue was $674,000, I'm going to make a note that about 50% of that is passed through, if not more, which means it goes like from the developers to us to engineering and solicitor and so on and so forth. So I think the biggest varying income stream that we actually have is our transfer tax. That's the one that's going to give us. It's going to be the biggest variance over the year, and if we budget to a low number, that's the one that's going to give you that large, you know,
surplus upside
at the end of the year that you can then use for the fund. So that's something to keep in mind when we're budgeting.
That's true.
When you're budgeting.
Yeah, and there was one or two municipalities that base their open space funding on the real estate transfer tax.
I think that's probably why. And that's where it makes the most sense because you've got developers obviously paying a lot of that money and people feel like, within the residents don't feel like they're being cheated at or anything.
It's the hardest one to predict, too, because suddenly, like, somebody will sell a building up on Baltimore Pike, and you're like, oh, that's a lot of money.
Exactly.
And you had no idea, you know, in the budget that you were going to get it. So.
On the flip side, some of these projects are in the works for
16,
24 months, so there is some.
And if you know what you're working towards, it's easier to kind of chip away at it as those monies come in, so... Thank you.
Great, thank you. Okay, do I have a motion to adjourn the work session?
Motion to adjourn.
Is there a second?
A second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Motion is approved.
I tried.
I missed it. Was that ever brought up?
I never knew about it. Where'd you get that from?
had it in his packet.
What? You get home before 7.
Started a new job?
She switched companies.
Oh, your wife?
Okay. Where's my... Oh, you know what? It's
probably
right,
she's working
for
tomorrow.
I actually saw June 11th. I actually saw... Do you know that channel on TV that's it's called PCN?
Yeah, yeah.
So, all the time.
Yep.
In the middle of the night, and this was on.
Okay.
And I was like, we missed it. That's a great topic.
Real.
And question.
Kelly's working for Burke as of today.
It was good.
We had all this started. She had started putting out resumes a year ago in Burke positions. It's actually a level up, so it's more pay. Burke still gives pensions.
Thank you.
But you know what Mark has? Free medicine.